Well, Packers, Cowboys, Ice Bowl 2 hinges on the question, how will the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders hold up with sub-zero frozen turf conditions? As frostbite goes, where it's never gone before. Well, what do you know?
Live from the Monona Terrace in Madison, Wisconsin, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's a longest listener hotline, plus all the news that isn't and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man whose drone and his neighbor's drone had a dogfight over the backyard, it's Michael Feldman.
It was about it. And, you know, I talked to him about it, but he just droned on and on and on. You know what's going to happen. Anyone have a drone here yet? Who's got a drone? Come on. First drone on your block. Is a neighbor got a drone? You know a neighbor who has a drone, and he's outside your window with a thing like... Okay, it's going to happen. Probably happen to Middleton first. You Middleton folks. Come over here, you know. Verona, maybe. A lot of drones in Verona, I bet. Okay, just thinking to myself, I should have kept it that way, I guess. How are you then? Pretty good, huh? It's not so cold now. It's like in almost in the double digits, isn't it? What'd you see on your car? What'd it say?
Zero
is a single digit, unless you do 00, which a lot of people do. That's double digits. Anyone have a higher digit number on their car coming in?
One?
It said 7 on mine, but, you know, it reads it right over the engine. My engine was running at a nice, cool 7 degrees. You pay for that, a little extra, but it's worth it. You know. I use the Ethel. Okay. So anyhow, yeah, I'm worried about the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. I worry about them a lot. Well, this could be bad. Fortunately, the Packers' St. Norbert's girls are covered head to toe. And then some. Doesn't end there. Nothing gets through St. Norbert's girls' defense, so. Could be a big advantage, you'll see. All right, thank you. And all the other news that isn't President Obama blamed for a 250,000 job gain in December. Mostly golf course attendants and caddies. Yes. The president now is offering free two-year community college tuition, or they're calling it, of course, Obama College. The Affordable Herzing Act. Everyone here go to Herzing? I don't mean to. I'm just kind of curious what kind of education that is. If it is an education, or it's just a thing on TV. Anyway, challenged Speaker John Boehner is offered a fallback position as House Chaplain. Where no one will ever accuse him of being squishy. Can't say that to the chaplain. He's not really squishy. Actually, he grew up over a tavern where he learned to cry in a beer at an early age, you know. So seeing him tear up, that's the beer reaction. I get that. Some beers, more than others. Depends on the beer. The upside of the plummeting price of oil, Rolexes and Mercedes at Saudi yard sales. Going for peanuts. Boy, that's a yard sale you want to go to in Saudi Arabia. The downside is that the United Arab Emirates has been sold to Disney for a theme park. Or is that another upside? That's another possible upside. The new Sony Walkman goes on sale. Did you see that? For $1,120, which in 1970 dollars is far out, man. competition for SpaceX as CarX attempts to put a Geo Metro into orbit. It was in mint condition, though, so it's good making. Certainly not the first Randy Johnson in the Major League Hall of Fame. Randy Johnson, see. Okay. They should have their own wing, the Randy Johnson wing, and they have a bunch of guys in there. Anyway, Colorado Good to Know campaign reminds folks to eat it quick before crossing 385 into Kansas. There's a rest stop there at Burlington, you know, which you may be staying at for several days, depending on how much you had with you. It's a little ironic because Coloradans they either can't bring their pot into Kansas, but you see all this wheat and sunflowers coming back the other way, you know, rushing into Colorado, unimpeded. I'm just saying. Okay. North Korea has warned theaters not to show the Game of Thrones movie due to the arch-villain Kim Jong-Joffrey. And really, they're upset because how small Kim looks even on IMAX. So, Jameis in Draftus. This never gets a joke. I never get anything I do with Jameis. Jameis in Draftus. May go firstus. The new wristband tracking device, the Felon, tracks your every move, reports it to Samsung and the Department of Corrections. So that's, I'm getting one. I'm surprised I don't have it already. This is the first device that tracks your every move that you're not married to. Okay. Well, I deserve more than a weak moan. Apparently not married to one of those devices. More habitable planets found as Earth fails to crack the top 10. Earth is not in the Goldilocks zone. It's more in the Granny, what big eyes you have zone. Fossils on Mars are found to be just ancient condoms. And then there is the 1795 time capsule found in Boston that contains Paul Revere's mileage for the midnight ride. Gotta say, it's padded. It was really only a couple of furlongs, you know. Just a one-horse ride. You didn't switch horses or anything like that. 10 shillings? I don't think so. Rhesus monkeys. Now, this is interesting, or not. I find this, anything that begins with rhesus monkeys, immediately my ears perk up. Because they're relatives, let's face it. Rhesus monkeys taught to recognize themselves in a mirror cannot be torn away from it afterwards. Isn't that interesting? No, okay. And they keep making the sign, does this make me look fat? Okay. Now that all the pent-up marriage desire is relieved, things should be a lot better in Florida, so. That's a good thing. Okay. Looking for whoever squeezed out a 6-foot boa constrictor in a San Diego men's room toilet. They're looking for him. There are no charges. They just want to meet the guy. All righty. On the way home, these are going to seem very amusing to you. You know.
It's the cold. It takes a while.
Yeah, it's the cold, yeah. The Packers prepare for the Cowboys by adding a 3.5-pound burger at Lambeau. 3.5-pound burger. It will play defensive end. And finally, and I mean that, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker shows he's serious about a presidential bid by hiring as political consultant Wile E. Coyote. He's strapping on the Acme rocket right now. And that's all the news that is. Thank you so much. Thank you pretty much. Thank you so much. I know, you did what you could. Boy, we're pretty excited that this is our 30th year in whatever business this is. Menswear, I keep thinking, or is it carpeting? I know it's a business here somewhere. And I can get it for you cheap, wholesale, you know. You know our tradition. And, anyway, and we're going to have a contest. Did any of you happen to hear we ran our very first show of What Do You Know from June 1st, 1985, last week, and no one heard it. So there wasn't a point in running it. Oh, you heard it? Yeah. What'd you think?
Sounded good.
Do you think my voice sounded a little odd?
It did sound a lot different, yes.
Yes. A little high? A little high and nonstop. I was high and I never stopped talking. Okay. That's one right. Yeah. Okay. That struck me as odd, too. Everything has descended since, though. So. I'm happy to report in some cases. So anyhow, 30 years, and that was in Vilas Hall there. And Jim sounded great, of course. It was great to hear Jim again. And I sounded just really ridiculous, silly. But we got through it, and pretty much the format is unchanged, except we used to do more visual things, you know. I had a belly dancer on one time, and all you could hear were her coins jingling on the air. But I enjoyed it tremendously, you know.
Bowling, you had bowling.
We bowled there, because it always looked to me like a bowling alley. It was a long studio.
You put some stockings on one time, some pantyhose, I think.
Well,
that was after the show, I'm sorry.
I followed directions on the egg. I thought, well, here's something funny. I don't know. And it said, put on a pair of white gloves in those days. That's what they did, I guess, before they put on their stockings. But I sort of liked the whole idea of it. Anyway, putting on white gloves and stretching on pantyhose out of the egg. It was leg, you know. So I did that. Then I walked in high heels one other time for no particular reason. I had a modeling coach. That's the hardest thing I've ever tried to do. And we tap danced on that first show, some tap dancing. So that's, otherwise, it's pretty much exactly the same, which is frightening. Nothing has changed in 30 years. However, the good news is that we are going to have the 30th, we're having a birthday party in June. June 13th will be our big birthday party, our 30th party, and you're all invited. And along the way, we are going to, you know, run some little shows again, bits and pieces. And we're also having the longest listener contest. This is for the person who's physically longest who has listened to our show. So we're talking, I would say, at least 7 feet standing. We're not stretched out. People can be a little longer. Okay, no. And anyway, the longest, the people who listen, and we want it to be sort of continuous. Like, you know, so you might have listened in 1985 for 6 months and then quit.
Well,
what?
Yeah, what if they listen, like,
sporadically.
Well, what if they listened before? What do you know to your, you know, the previous AM Saturday? That doesn't count?
No. Okay. Just we're not honoring AM Saturday.
No, we're not. No. Just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also High Noon, we're not honoring that, too.
No,
that was that show.
Dare. Nope.
Yeah. We're trying to forget those. We're not honoring anything on WGN, either.
No. It's unmentionable.
No, we're not mentioning
you
that.
Even said that.
We're not honoring that. Or even the breakfast special.
Oh,
we're not honoring that, but I have very fond memories of it. But can't honor everything, you know? Right?
Absolutely.
Yes. Of course, you were 4 years old, and you listened to the show on your way to...
Up in Canada, yeah.
Ballet class.
I did, yeah.
When you were four.
Mm-hmm.
Still, do I have to listen to this again?
I didn't get the jokes back then either.
No. Jeez. My daughter Nora told me this. I don't know what you're talking about. And she said this recently, and she's 21 years old now. So, you know, I've always been good with young people. Because I don't speak down to them. I speak totally around and over them. Anyway, okay, so now we have little bits and pieces here. And some longest listeners are probably out there right now saying, you know, I'm listening to this guy, and I don't know why. Just to keep the radio on, I have something in the room, you know. Yeah, you know, when I was on WGN, people would call and say, you know, WGN is my nightlight. I leave it on all night, leave it on all day. I never turn it off, you know, unless there's a power failure. And there are probably people who listen. Of course, we're only on once a week, so there'd be long periods of radio silence. And then Saturday, I'm like, oh, and then it's radio silence. And that could be hard on some people. Okay. And then... is this on? I don't know if I'm really ready. I'm not seeing much way of understanding here. This is my career. Okay. Anyhow, here's a little bit that we recorded. It was in Green Bay, and I believe it was 1991, probably, in one of our first trips up to Green Bay at the center there, that nice performing arts center they built there in Green Bay. And these guys, there's no particular reason for any of these clips we might be doing in the future, but these are the Sheephead Boys, and it's singular to them. You know, we always say like sheep's head, but I think it's sheep head. I think it's just one sheep, one head involved in this card game. And here's that clip. I think you'll like it.
Where are the Sheep's Head boys? We have them here? Down over here? Okay, well, let's go down and say hello to those guys. These are guys worth meeting, I think. Where'd you guys go? Over that side there? Okay, let me just go over and say hello to these guys. These are the Sheep's Head boys. Legends around here. Hi, how are you?
Okay.
And who are you?
Ralph Matter.
Ralph, you kind of responsible for this group?
Not too much, a little bit.
Yeah, some of them more than others, huh?
Yes.
Responsible for yourself, that's the main thing, right? That's enough of a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me about this, Ralph. How do these guys all get together?
How did it get together? Well, that's a pretty good question. And we just, yeah. They all get a big cooler full of beer or something and bring it over to our place. And then we get on a wagon with a team of horses and we start riding. And
now, wait a minute. Whoa.
Sheephead.
This is getting out of hand. What are you guys drinking?
Whatever they bring.
A little brandy in there, I bet. There must be to get climb up.
Once in a while, yes, on a special occasions.
Just on a blue moon, huh? Ralph, I understand getting together. I was with you. You get the cooler, you sit down with the guys, and you start playing Sheep's Head. But when do you get on the wagon with the horses? When did that develop?
When?
Yeah.
Well, about 10 o'clock in the morning.
I guess, Ralph, what I'm getting at here is the origins of this practice.
About 10 years ago.
10 years ago at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
The guys were sitting around with the cooler, having a few brewskis, maybe a little brandy if it was a special occasion, and somebody said, let's play Sheep's Head, okay. Is it Sheep Head or Sheep's Head?
Well, take your choice.
Yeah. You say singular? Just one head?
One hand?
No, not one hand. Obviously, that'd be over in a few minutes. Sheep's Head. Two sheeps. At least two sheeps. Okay. But, I mean, when did you... I mean, who came up with the horse-drawn cart idea?
I did.
So, Ralph, why are you giving me such a hard time? You could have said I came up with this idea.
Well, I did.
Yeah. All right, you did. Now, how did you come up with... How's anyone come up with any idea? I mean, that's hard to say, right? But, well, what was your thinking here?
Well, I don't know. I bought a pair of horses for my granddaughter, and she didn't make any use out of them, so I started making some use out of them. I started hitching them up in a wagon, and always got this bunch of people together, and after that, every Thursday, we'd go out for a ride with these horses in the wagon. Yeah.
So how many guys can you fit on the wagon there?
About 15.
About 50?
50, yeah.
Mm-hmm. On the wagon. Sit down, ma'am. She likes to be included in every conversation. You know?
Sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She's not one of your band.
Not that I know of, because you never know.
All right, now, Ralph, I'm going to go over here to, you are?
Andy Whitman.
Andy, explain a little more exactly how this works with 15 guys playing Sheep's Head in a wagon. Is it a little bumpy to play a hand of cards?
I guess so, but... they know how to do it. I'm a rookie, and I'm just learning how. They take all my money. They own all the farms in the eastern part of the state. And Clarence Whitman and Ralph behind him rode their horses to Green Bay when they were kids. It's like 40 miles one way and then back. Pony Express, they only went 20 miles and changed horses. So there's a real gentleman or...
Clarence, did you play Sheep's Head in those days, too, while riding?
Not too much.
No.
I'm mostly the driver.
You're mostly the driver?
Yeah.
So you don't get to play?
No, they won't let me play.
Can't you get someone else to drive once in a while?
Yeah, we got another driver here.
Yeah. So then do you go back and play?
Well, when we stop for an hour or two,
then
we play.
You're a driver, you don't drink.
Oh, I see. You don't drink, that's why.
Yeah.
No. You don't want to go off the wagon here, do you? I guess that's where the expression comes from, as I think about it. Are you one of these guys, too?
I'm one of these guys, too. Joe Schwalbe.
Joe, how are you?
From the same area.
Yeah.
And when we play on the wagon, we each have a big washer so the wind don't blow the cards off.
Yeah.
And it works pretty good.
A big washer?
Big washer. Yeah, maybe an inch and a half around.
Oh, yeah.
You got to have that.
You got gotta have that.
And there's a bunch of windbags on the wagon too.
What do you mean by that?
Well, they have a little foolish story to tell once in a while. I don't know any, but yeah, them fellows are good at it.
Yeah, what kind of stories are the guys telling the wagon?
Always clean.
Well, it's one typical. We got a story here. Excuse me for just a second. Yeah, this is what you might hear on the Sheepshead wagon.
Did you hear about this older couple at the end of a runway, and they're watching this fellow give rides, and they want to take a ride. He says to his wife, he said, let's go ask him how much. He said, Jake, we could never afford that. That's too much money. We can't afford that. Well, let's just go ask. He's okay. Went over and asked the pilot how much. He said, $15 each. She said, $15, Jake. It's $15. So they went to the end of the runway, and he went up a couple more times. The pilot came over. He said, you can have a ride if you keep your mouth shut. I have an air show tomorrow. I'll listen to the engine. You open your mouth, it costs you $15 each. So he takes off and he does a triple barrel roll, inside loop, outside loop, hammerhead, flips around seven, lands. He said, Jake, you didn't say a word. You saved $15. He said, I almost said something. On that first triple barrel roll, my wife fell out. But $15 is $15.
That's worth it. That's worth riding on a buckboard right there. Nice to meet all you guys. The Sheepshead Boys from the wagon, ladies and gentlemen. They ride around playing sheep's head on the wagon. Great bunch of guys. Thank you guys for coming.
That's Ralph Motter and the boys, Sheephead Boys. And I hope they're still doing it. We're up there in Green Bay and surrounding areas. And, okay, $15 is $15. That joke. That's a good one. So we got a little time here now. We may have some long inveterate or invertebrate listeners who are out there saying, you know, I could easily win. By the way, whoever is our longest listener can more or less continue. Obviously, you can have some years to yourself, but you've got to pick it up again sometime, you know. And then we're going to fly you in here and feet you and arm you and hands you. And all your extremities will be covered, and have a party for you, and give you prizes, and put you up in a nice place, or a pretty nice place, a good place. We'll put you in a good place. You'll be in a good place. So anyone here wants to call in who's a long listener and has got a little sort of anecdotal proof of that, how would they do that?
They can call 1-800-942-5669, yeah, which is also 1-800-WHA-NO or 1-800-WHACK-NOW.
Yeah.
And I guess provide some evidence. What kind of evidence would they
provide?
Well,
it has to be anecdotal unless they have something notarized. Because, what are we going to do? You know, it's anecdotal.
Well, we'll send our crack team of private detectives out to check on it.
We have that?
Yeah. We have security.
Who does that? Jeff?
I think Aubrey does.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I think Aubrey could do that.
Yeah, he could do that.
All right. I think he could.
So okay. It's 1-800-942-5669.
So call in or we're sending Aubrey out.
669.
Yeah, that's the number to call. If you are a long-term listener or pretty long or at least more than,
the last 23 minutes.
Yes, or just this is the first time you heard the show, you can just call up and lie for a while. That's pretty easy. Or if you got another joke like that one we just heard, I'd like to hear that. Those guys are great, weren't they? I love those guys.
What is Sheep's Head, anyhow? It's a card game that involves...
I couldn't tell you. I don't play it, but I know it is. It's like endemic to Wisconsin. Cribbage and Sheep's Head.
And maybe a little euchre thrown in there, too.
Oh,
and
yeah, euchre.
And euchre. That's like the Trinity. Wisconsin Trinity. And Dave's online here now from Ormond Beach, Florida, and he's been listening for how long, Dave?
I was the guy that turned the transmitters on up in Brule and Park Falls the morning of your show.
You were?
Yes, I was. We controlled WHSA Brule from Park Falls at that time.
Yeah.
And I was the guy that Saturday morning, I had the sign-on shift, and I hit the buttons and turned things on up there for everybody up in that northwest corner of the state.
Isn't that funny? And did you have to climb the tower to do that? Is there a switch on the tower top?
No, we had a big, long extension cord.
Did you do the weather thing? They used to, in Wisconsin, they used to do the weather from all the stations, reporting like Brule and all these stations, and they'd say what the weather was, which I loved. It was the best thing on the air, actually.
Yeah, that was the weather roundup. No, yeah. They phased that out shortly before I got. I was working for the ECB at that time, and I think they had a little problem with one of the morning guys that was rather colorful on the air, and they said, nah, not so much.
Yeah, when he said it was blanking cold out, what do you think? And you know, that was probably it for the weather roundup, huh?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Dave. Have you listened, though? You just turned it on. Doesn't mean you listened.
Well, I've been listening ever since. I was, myself and a bunch of other transmitter operators were unfortunately put out of work by the wonderful computer a number of years ago, and I went on to work for the university system, and through the miracle of the internet, I've been in Florida 12 years now, and through the miracle of the internet, I've been able to listen to you nearly every Saturday down here in Florida.
And have you enjoyed every moment, or?
Well, any long-running show.
Yeah. Well,
so there you go.
Yeah. Hey, Dave. Well, we need, you know, if you want to send that in, an anecdotal evidence of that, like you just told me, and how would they do that, to send in something to qualify for the 30th longest listener contest?
Well, they could send it. He could send it to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org or by mail to 821 University Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin, 53706.
And just get that notarized then, Dave.
Okay, I can do that.
Okay.
I sure miss going up all those stairs at 821 and Vilas Hall to pick up the logbooks every morning and wander into your studio.
Yeah. There's an elevator, you know, Dave. Didn't they let you use it?
Well, yeah, they did. I guess we did, but kind of needed the exercise.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Dave. Nice to talk to you.
You bet.
And thank you for your service.
You're welcome.
Let's go to Paul here, as in... Paul, I bet you can remember the first time you listened, right, Paul?
I can.
Yeah.
I was out in Montana in my cabin with the radio trying to find anything to listen to. It was in the middle of nowhere at the time, and I could get KGLT, I think it is, out of Billings, Montana.
Yeah, Billings.
You know, if I was careful tuning in. Yeah. And in the fall, when my job in Yellowstone was over, I would be up there in the cabin with nobody but me and the, you know, the coyotes and the bears and stuff. But it was a wonderful entertainment, and I've been listening to you ever since.
No kidding.
So,
and where are you now? You're in Kent, Ohio now.
I'm in Kent, Ohio now, but I go out to Yellowstone every summer and visit that cabin. That's so wonderful. My wife and I go out there.
She goes with you. That's pretty good.
Yeah, well, that's how I met her, actually.
You met her in the cabin? She was already there when you...
I met her to do with Yellowstone. We were at a local dance place. As a matter of fact, you had the band on your show, the Numbers Band from Kent. And that's where we met. And I got her a job in Yellowstone because I was the personnel manager at that time.
This is a wonderful story. This should be the winning thing. Can you send this all in? Can you send this all in and doc, you know, just put it on a sheet of paper or an email or something?
I'd be delighted to. And where do I send it?
Where does he send it?
If you want to email it, send it to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org or just send it in the mail at 821 University Avenue. That's 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Michael, and wish you many, many more years of success. You're wonderfully entertaining. I've seen you several times, and I never miss you. Although last week we were traveling to Georgia, and I thought something was wrong with my radio because you sounded kind of weird, and I guess someone has already mentioned that.
Yeah, I was
That's
using
what happens when we're young.
I was using helium.
Part
of the... Okay, well, thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
Great to talk to you. All right, Krista's on the line from Galena, Missouri, or Missouri. Do you say Missouri. Or Missouri?
Missouri.
You do? Okay, that's good. How are you, Krista?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And have you been listening for quite some time?
I've been listening for a long time, and I saw you the first time you came to Springfield, Missouri.
Yeah.
And you were in Carrington Hall, but it was such a small venue that some of us had to sit outside, but they piped it outside.
Yeah.
And then you came out, and I met you. And so I was listening before that. I'm not sure. It was in the early 80s.
Yeah. You know, I'm pretty sure we're going to rerun that show, actually, the first one from Springfield. Yeah, because it was such a fun time.
Well, and I've seen you every time you've come to Springfield.
Yeah. So. Well, that alone should be worth something.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I remember sitting out there in the corral area, and they piped it out to the audience out there. So
they had you in a corral? That's kind of upsetting. I'm glad I didn't know about it.
Well, that's what they call the area.
Yeah.
Outside Carrington.
Yeah.
And when you came one time, my mom sent you a book that she wrote,
mm-hmm.
And it kind of tells about the area. And we thought maybe that you would read that and interview us while we were in the audience.
And I didn't, huh?
And you didn't.
Oh, boy. So there's some bad memories, too. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure I have the book somewhere, so I have piles of books that I probably should have read.
Well, this one's called A Hammer and Some Nails.
A Hammer and Some Nails?
Mm-hmm. My mom and I built a house. And then she wrote a book about it.
Oh, that should have... Yeah, I'm sorry to get to that, but you were out in the corral anyhow. How would I find it?
That's right.
Well, that's fantastic. So, and you stayed in the area.
Yeah, we still live here.
Yeah.
I work at... they call it Missouri State University. It was Southwest Missouri State when you were there.
Yeah.
But it's Missouri State University now.
Yeah. Arlen Diamond, my old friend, was...
That's right.
The head of broadcasting, anyway. Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's great. It's really great to hear from you, Krista. Okay? And if you put some of this in a little note or an email or something, send it to us. You know how to do that?
I sure will.
Okay, great.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye.
Thank you very much. Nice to hear from you. We got Alex on the line from Columbus, Ohio, and we've been to Columbus many times.
Hello, Michael.
How are
you? Thanks for running through all these years, and have a happy new year.
Well, thank you. You too. How are you doing?
All right. I'm working on some online writing right now.
Yeah.
I've been listening since the early 90s, and mm-hmm. I was in a cabin, too, in rural Ohio. I had the opportunity to watch somebody's property for about 15 years, and it was like having my own state park.
Oh,
wow. And on the Saturdays, I'd listen to the radio, and I'd pull you in on either OSU or WCBE.
Right.
But what I remember, an old gag that you used to run in those days was when you ran the quiz and the people got three answers right, and they went for the big prize package. You called it the whole can of cornea.
Oh yeah, the giant, the cornucopia.
The can of cornea. Can
of cornea. Yeah. Being me, I would say that.
I just wanted to bring that gag back out after a few.
Yeah,
years.
Yeah. I'm actually dyslexic, so you shouldn't be laughing. That's how I say cornucopia.
Anyway, thanks for running the show, man. I'm listening.
Thank you. And if you want to send in your little story or send it in to us while you're doing your writing or after you finish this, I'm sure you're in something right now. You know how to do that?
I can drop you an email. I emailed you a couple of years ago with that guacamole parody of Walk This Way. I'm the guy that did that.
Oh, yeah. I remember that, actually. It was good.
All right. Well, take care, Mike. Have fun.
All right. Thanks, Alex.
Okay. Bye.
Nice talking to you. David's online from Columbus, Ohio. Hey, David.
Hey, Michael. How you doing?
Pretty good. You don't seem old enough to have listened very long, David.
Well, I actually am much younger than I sound, or I'm much older than I sound.
One of the two. Or both.
One of the two.
When you reach a certain age, it's
so
both.
So I've been listening to you since the early 90s, and I'm sorry that we missed you when you were at Otterbein.
Yeah.
We really loved to see you there.
It was a fun time.
It's one of those things where the girls would come down from upstairs in the morning, and they would hear your voice, and they would go, "Oh, we know what's going on. It's What Do You Know?"
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
The girls, your daughters?
Yes, they're my daughters.
Yeah, my daughters had a different reaction.
I remember hearing a couple of... Yeah. Quit talking like that, will you?
Yeah. And any amusing anecdotes besides the girls coming down the stairs that you could put in your entry?
Well, I could.
Yeah.
One of the things that we did every Saturday morning was that I would go out and get bagels from Giant Eagle and come home, and those would be popping out of the toaster about the same time that your first quiz would happen.
Mm-hmm.
I would always time it for that so that I could just sit down and listen to it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a prize winner, but the bagel.
No, no, I tell you what, the guy who was on just before the woman who was just on is the prize winner.
The guy in the cabin in Montana?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. Going to be tough to beat. I do know that women usually, sometimes men, would always tell me that when the band played, that's when they'd put in the fabric softener. for many years. Yes. John's going to do it right now with me.
You have a wonderful band. It's wonderful to listen to them.
Yeah. Well, thank you on their behalf.
Yeah.
Thank you on your behalf. Okay.
All right, man.
All right.
Good hearing your show.
Thank you, David. Nice to talk with you.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye. Keith's in Green Bay. Hey, Keith.
Good morning.
You know the Modders? You know Ralph Modder? By any chance?
I know some Modders, but I don't know if I know Ralph.
Okay.
And I don't know if he's still around anymore either.
Well,
it's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a long time. But.
Yeah. But when you were first on about 30 years ago, I remember my family and I were going to a family reunion.
Uh-huh.
And it was the first time that we had taken the children.
Yeah.
My daughter was only 3, and my wife was pregnant with our second. So it was a trip from Milwaukee out to Gay's Mills, out west of Madison.
Sure.
And I couldn't find anything on the radio except you.
Oh, dear. That's a bad thing.
Well, I don't know. I think it was probably a good thing, because from that time on, any time the children and I were in the car, we always listened to you over sometimes their objections.
Sure.
Well, you know, they were kids.
Yeah, no, I got a lot of the objections, believe me.
Yeah, well, I think it stuck because my daughter grew up and now she's an Emmy-winning news producer in St. Paul. So I think some of it kind of rubbed off the quizzes and stuff. We'd always try to see if we could beat each other on the quizzes and get a lot of. Fun out of being in the car together and listening to you on Saturday morning. So
you're arguing there's a positive social influence of the What Do You Know movement.
Despite what they want to listen to, I wouldn't let them listen to the popular music because
of the day. It was pretty bad anyway.
Of the day because public radio comes out of my hand. My full dead hand when I'm driving the car.
Wake me up before you go and all that sort of thing.
A song that has 6 words in it, it's not worth listening to.
Too many. It's too many. Thanks, Keith, so much. Nice talking to you. Get that story
Thank
into
you.
Us. Thank you all for calling in and joining us on this first episode here of Who's Listened the Darn Longest to This Guy. Okay.
Are we going to do that again? I like that. Let's do that again.
Yeah, we'll do it every so often.
Maybe next month.
We don't want to beat a dead horse here. But, Okay. Oh, this, by the way, this is my friend John Seeger. I told him about this. Longest listener to the What Do You Know quiz. And, of course, he drew a picture of a prisoner with all the years that he's listened marked off on his cell. Thank you, John Seeger, for that. This is his version of the longest listener, quite possible. We'll put that online so you can look at that drawing. It's very good.
And if you want to send in your notes for the longest listener challenge, you can do that. I'll give you the address one more time. It's whatdoyouknow@wpr.org or 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. We'll put it on Facebook, too, for you.
Yeah. What? What are you pointing at me? Then you're pointing at them?
You want to go out in the audience?
Should I do it right now?
Yeah.
You're saying, okay, cool. I'll take a number away from you. I don't have the cards, though, do I? Chop, 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 chop.
Sarah, I don't know what are we supposed to do now?
Let's take a little break before we go out into the audience.
Yeah.
Just in case you were wondering, you are listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI. That's Public Radio International. Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
And I'm out here in the audience, and yes, I am doing. Did you want to say hello?
Hi.
Did you want to say anything besides hello? That was a shake of the head. No, okay. Okay, can I ask your name?
Tula.
Tula?
Yeah.
Beautiful name. Have you been told that before? It's a beautiful name.
Yeah.
You're tired of hearing that it's a beautiful name?
No.
Tula, it's beautiful. Stocks, bonds, or money under the mattress, what's the best investment in 2015? I say divest. Or keep it under divest. Terry Bauer, Onalaska, Wisconsin.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, that's you then. There.
I need some advice.
Yeah, divest. Give it to me. And I'll put it in something that can't miss.
You could use $5.
Yeah, I could use $5, that's it? Yeah, okay. Let's just see what he's got. Let's shake him down and see what he wants to invest in. I get you to stand up, just say hello for a minute here. You're Terry Bauer?
Yes.
How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Yeah. Are you here visiting or what?
Yeah, UW Parents Weekend. Brought my daughter.
Is it? Yeah.
So we thought we'd catch your show live.
Yeah. I did that Parents Weekend thing.
Hey, you got two.
We already lived here, so we just visited ourselves, you know.
Yeah, it's a great experience. Yeah.
What have you learned so far?
Oh, we had breakfast at Mickey's.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, it's a cool thing, and we'll do a Camp Randall this afternoon.
Did you have the giant pancakes?
Nicole did.
I did.
Your first time?
No, not my first time.
Your first time? What did you have?
Bacon, eggs, and toast. Man's breakfast.
You know, the only thing is, they left up their 1949 menu on the wall. See that? So you get like eggs for 12 cents or something like that.
That's part of the barter.
Yeah, it makes it hard to eat when you look at the prices.
So we'll catch the hockey game tonight, too.
And then what do you do up in Onalaska these days?
Corporate sales trainer for Reinhart Food Service.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Oh, I'm trying to imagine what that would mean. What do you actually do? You tell the guys how to do their job?
Yeah, just help coach in selling and customer service, take care of our important customers, grow the business.
What kind of business is that?
Food service. If you eat food in restaurants here in Madison, you're probably eating some food supplied by Reinhart Food Service.
So at Mickey's, you actually ate your own?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Get a discount on that. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Good luck to you, dear.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Pardon me. Sorry about that. But you know that was bound to happen. Yeah. Krishna, Chicago statistician, how can I be better at living?
Oh.
I don't think you can be. Huh? Are you that? Are you he? Yeah. This is too esoteric for me.
Well, it was on the spur of the moment. It's really hard to come up with a good question.
I know. Better at living in what sense?
Well, we just got married.
Oh, you just got married. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Being
here was my birthday present for my wife. So,
so you're already better at living because you are married. And not because you're here. I don't mean that.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I've been listening to the show for a long time, so this is great. Yeah.
So how long have you been married now?
About a year now. We got married and then we got married again. So we had a
study. You're the third time. The third time is a charm, really.
That's we're waiting for the third time. The third time will be a Jewish ceremony. But
ceremony.
Yeah.
The first two.
The first one was City Hall. The second one was a Hindu wedding in India. So it was
And the Jewish is third. Are you Jewish?
Yes.
Any other possibilities? We can have a transcendental.
We'll keep going with it. We'll have a Buddhist ceremony down the line. Yeah.
You have to start counting the number of years you're together all over with each wedding, or?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how you pick an anniversary. You know, with this, you know, it gets confusing.
It cause tax complications. Is all I'm saying. Depending upon how you file. And your name is
Lynn.
And
I'm Krishna.
Yes, very nice to meet you. Nice I think you're living
you.
Very well. Congratulations. Oh heck. All right, quiz time. Come on down here, sir. Since I stepped on your foot, I feel like I owe you something. Which one did I step on? One of those there. How are you? You are?
I'm Victor Weirs.
Victor, I don't want that back.
Oh,
I'm going to hand this microphone to you and let you take over.
All right. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, and although the answers have not. Ambiguous and misleading and poorly worded questions are... par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Hey, man, that's secondhand vape. Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are likely to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let somebody else have a chance for a change. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done. You can keep that group you've been here. Thank you very much. Nice shot. Let's see the hands of those of you who want it. Yours is the only hand that's up. That gives you a real advantage. Why don't you come over towards this aisle, and I'll come over towards you. Theoretically, we should meet at some point, is what I'm thinking. Oh, what a nice meeting. That's really...
It goes down from there.
I'm sorry I won't follow up on that either, but... How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
You look great.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Are you surprised or something?
I don't know. You're just a better...
I sound decrepit on the air, I know.
No.
And you are?
I am Deb Chivas.
Deb Chivas. Deb, where are you from?
I am from Fountain Prairie, Wisconsin.
Fountain Prairie. Very good.
Obviously, all my neighbors are here.
Yeah, they're here. And Deb, what are you doing these days? What are you up to?
I am a big reader.
Yeah.
And I weave, and I'm learning how to knit.
Can you read and weave at the same time?
No.
One or the other.
Yeah.
Give me one good reason, Deb, you should play this quiz.
I was the only hand up.
Okay, that's a good one. Come on down here. Come on. Let's go up this way. Come on. Follow me. Watch out for that there. That's a lawsuit. OSHA! Yeah, well, no, OSHA will get us first. Have a seat there if you would, Deb. I'll sit here. Oh, yeah. So is Fountain Prairie like Twin Cities?
Yes, it's right next to Fall River.
And it's next to Fall River. Well, I thought Fountain was a city and Prairie was a town.
But
there's also Fall River, so it gets very confusing.
Very confusing.
Yeah, just a bunch of things happen. Why did all those people gather in that place?
It's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous?
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And Fountain Prairie Farms is right down the street.
Yeah.
I've never seen, like, acres and acres and miles of cattle, just beautiful, roaming over the hills. It's lovely.
Yes. Are there fences, hopefully, because you have a property there?
You know what? I don't see any fences. I've never looked, but there's none in the roads.
They
so.
Got them some trained cattle there.
Maybe they all have those collars on, you know,
yeah.
The electronic fences.
That's amazing. And you're not in the cattle, but you're in the weaving. Are you a weaver by profession?
No, I am a retired insurance person, but never did I have to deal with the consumers. I was always behind the stage, you know, for hard-to-place business.
Okay. And now you weave and you think nothing about insurance or premiums or customers.
Nothing.
Or riders.
Jim pays the premiums. I don't even look at it anymore.
Well, that's wonderful. You know this quiz works, Deb?
I do.
Okay, because some of it plays along with you.
I actually saw you do this on the TV.
On the TV?
Back then.
Back when they had the TV.
When we're not saying WGN. We're not celebrating
those days. Oh, yeah. I did that on the TV.
Yes, you did.
And they stopped having TV after that. Now they got something else. Cable or whatever that is. All right, here's the question. Someone out there answers, and they can play along with you in the quiz. Question is, what is this Goldilocks zone I keep hearing about? I referenced it earlier, actually, in my monologue. It was a monologue. We should have mentioned that. What is this darn Goldilocks zone I keep hearing about? And Megan's on the line. What's the number to call?
Well, if she's already on the line, do I need to tell you the number?
I think so.
Okay. It's 1-800-942-5669.
Because other people may not know what
right,
Megan
right.
knows.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Hey, Megan. How you doing?
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Are you staying warm?
I am staying warm.
Yeah.
Actually, I caught someone trying to steal the weather stripping off my Toyota Prius last night. And so I'm on my way to the service station to get it glued back on.
You're kidding.
Crazy.
It's crazy. The cold makes people crazy. They try to steal other people's weather stripping. What good is
weather
that going to do someone?
I mean, really? Really?
It's crazy. Crazy talk. Megan, you know what the Goldilocks zone is?
I have no idea, actually.
I'll give you a hint. It's
sad, because I really wanted to play the quiz. It's like number one on my bucket list.
Oh, okay. It's space-related. Does that help you at all?
Not really.
Okay. Weather stripping related? No, it's not.
Can I phone a friend?
No, I'm afraid we don't work that way. Megan, you'll have to try us again. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Try us again. Good luck with that weather stripping.
Yep, bye.
Did you ever hear of such a thing, stealing someone else's weather stripping?
I would expect more of Prius owners, too.
Yeah. Maybe it was Prius resentment. I think it was Prius resentment. Tom, in Red House, Virginia?
Yes.
This is your life, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. You know what this Goldilocks zone is, Tom?
Is it a habitable zone around a star?
Yes, yes, exactly right. Where planets in that Goldilocks zone are supposedly in a habitable zone. The weather is, they can have water and sunshine, even if it's greenish blue, you know. That's right. Congratulations, Tom. You qualify. All right. Tom, this is Deb.
Hi, Tom.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
Good. Good.
Good. You ready? Are you outdoors, Tom?
No, it's a little cold in Virginia today.
Yeah, how cold would that be, Tom?
It would be in the 30s, 28 degrees right now.
Disgusting. I'm never going to Virginia, that's for sure. Tom and Deb, you are a team. You answer questions collaboratively, and we have various categories, don't we, Bitsy?
We do. They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Tom, you pick first one. What would you like?
People.
People's kind of survey results or what have you. The percentage of vegetarians who backslide into meat. Is it 11%, about half, or 84%?
Well, Tom, I do have some vegetarians in the family. And
have they backslid?
Well, my sister backslid one time. She decided at an airport to have a tuna sandwich. So, you know, and she never, ever has had meat again.
Yeah.
So I'm almost thinking it's about half, though. What do you think, Tom?
Half.
That's just a guess. I have no idea.
Middle of the road. That sounds good to me. Let's try that.
Yeah, about half. That's about right. Okay.
That's one right and zero wrong.
Very good. What's,
What's left? Current events, places, things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends?
Deb?
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. Could be anything, you know.
Could be anything.
Yeah. Is worrying dumb or smart? In other words, do people with higher so-called IQs worry more, or do people without so-called high IQs worry more? You know, which group worries more?
What do you think, Tom?
I would say the lower.
What are they worried about? They don't know anything. Go on.
It really does no good,
yeah.
But I think a little bit of, it's like chocolate, a little bit is okay. But,
yeah.
Let's go.
With higher?
With higher.
Smarter?
Sure.
You think smarter people?
Is that what you said, Tom?
No, he said dumb people worry more, but that's counterintuitive. Isn't it? It's your choice.
Higher?
Higher. We'll go higher.
So you're saying smart people worry more?
I would personally think no, but we'll say yes.
They know more to worry about.
Interesting point. So what would you conclude from that then, Tom?
Higher.
Because you're a smart guy. Let me ask you, do you worry a lot, Tom? You're smart.
I don't want to answer that right now.
What, are you worried about the answer?
Deb, you're smart. You worry a lot?
No.
Yeah.
No, but
it doesn't do any good.
You have a good personality, though.
Also, she worked in insurance.
I'm not sure that's.
So I could read lost words for the restaurants.
Worrying dumb or smart? Whatever you
smart.
Say next. What?
Smart.
Smart? Smart to smart. Yes, smart people worry more. So if you want to be smart, just worry more.
That's two right and zero wrong, and the categories left are current events, places, things you should have learned in school, or science.
All right. Tom, back to you there.
Science.
Science it is. Okay. All right. Say you want to live to be 200. One way to do it would be to be A, a paramecium, B, a bowhead whale, or is it a bowhead?
Bowhead.
Huh?
Bowhead sounds better. I don't know. Bowhead.
But the whale would be probably a bow, wouldn't it?
No. It's not a ship. It's a whale.
A bowhead. Do you worry a lot, John?
No. Maybe I should worry more.
That's what I thought. Okay. Or C, a liver fluke.
I would say the whale.
Okay. How would you say the whale? Bowhead or bowhead?
Bowhead. If its head is in the front, where the bow of the boat would be, maybe you call it a bowhead.
I would think so, too, actually. That's right. You agree?
I am totally going with
Tom. Yes, the cone. They love to be 200, judging by the harpoon marks on them. You've won the What Do You Know quiz.
You have, Deb. You can learn something new each and every day this new year with Michael Feldman's What Do You Know. Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know from source books. Tom, you can begin your day the What Do You Know audience way with Stephen Brew's Breakfast Blend Coffee and soothe away cares in the afternoon with a rich and smooth Costa Rican Terasu from Madison's Stephen Brew Coffee, which is coffee done right. And each of you can fight plumber's butt with an extra long t-shirt emblazoned with the What Do You Know logo, comes in a bucket, and fight winter doldrums with What Do You Know the party game, including questions, contestants, audience members, and the fully winterized Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at Not Much. .com. Congratulations to you both.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Glad you got your wish come true.
Join us for a live show anytime in January. On January 31st, we'll have a special performance by Fox. For more information, just go to notmuch.com. You'll find out all about tickets and guests, the whole lot of it.
THOX, Fox.
Fox, yes. And if you're looking
Fox.
No. And if you're looking to keep the laughs going, you can click over to notmuch.com to join the Facebook family, keep up with Michael's tweets, and play our online quiz. It's all available all the time at notmuch.com.
Just remember how cold it is in Virginia. Be thankful you're here.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI. That's Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international, and this is PRI, Public Radio International. Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's a tri-corner town of the week, plus a whole new batch of thanks for the memos, all the news that is, and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who believes that being numb is about as good as being warm, it's Michael Feldman.
Looking through my many papers here. Tax season and everything. Save all your receipts. That's all I say. Okay. And you know, each week at this time, we read actual memos sent in by actual listeners. Because we have them. Don't kid yourself. And so we got some here. And I think I got a couple of them here today. Did you read that? Well, it's actually a quiz question. It comes on later. But anyhow, I think it was in Montana, the state legislature told women legislators to watch their skirt lengths and their blouse
transparency
depths. Oh. No, yeah. Well, I suppose that too. They didn't mention that. But. Which, you know, I mean, in this day and age, really, how insulting is that? What is it? You know, we're no longer in Catholic school. Come on. It was a break. So here's one here from a well-known electric products corporation. But actually, this is old. It's kind of a retro thing. So I can say it's from Sylvania. And it goes back to 1970. So that's kind of in keeping with our, you know, boy, that was a long time ago theme. But anyhow, this went on pantsuits. Remember, pantsuits came in about this time. Do people still wear pantsuits?
Hillary.
Yeah. And it's a mistake.
No, she looks good in them.
No, I mean, she's... I don't think so. Anyway, anyone else besides Hillary wear a pantsuit? No, I don't think so. I mean, you wear pants and you wear suits, but you don't wear pantsuits. It's crazy. Because otherwise, all those shirts are going to come back that guys wear open to their navel and, you know... Anyway. Anyhow, this goes from Sylvania to pantsuits, all female employees. Many of you have come to me requesting that you be allowed to wear your pantsuits to work. Inasmuch as this seems to be the current vogue in fashion among working girls, even in offices, we will allow you to begin wearing these with certain important stipulations. On December 1st of 1970, should you desire to wear pantsuits, you must use the same considerations of good taste as in other types of office attire. Specifically, one, they should consist of pants with coordinated tunic or jacket. Two, tunic or jacket must come below the hips and the pants to the ankle. Excuse me. Solid, muted colors or small designs are recommended. Jumpsuits or slacks with sweaters, blouses, etc. will not be allowed. You cannot wear your jumpsuit to work. Should anyone wear such apparel which does not conform to the above norms, they'll be requested to return home and change to the proper attire. I'm attaching a copy of a picture which a local personnel supervisor attached to this letter on the subject. I think you will agree that it clarifies the matter very well. Thank you very much, whoever is in charge there. Here is the picture of proper. I'm sorry we can't show this over the radio, but I will.
Oh, they're all posterior drawings.
Are they?
Yeah.
No, there's fronts. There's the fronts.
See, oh, yeah.
Faces?
Oh,
they have faces
on
the front of their head, not the back. Anyhow, this is a good guide. You still are wearing pantsuits to work. And no nose and the okay. There's three no nose and one okay. Well, one woman is wearing like chaps or something. Yeah, they're chaps. They're like little things, fringe coming off the sides of it. Those are chaps. There may not even be a seat on those. So, okay, see you later. Just to update things, here is a recent memo. It reads as follows, and it's from the left over from the holiday season, but it's not that far. Here we go. Greetings during the season. The freezer in the lounge contains several gallons of frozen milk, a pumpkin pie, and a frozen mallard. The package of the duck has the name Jammy Ladwig. Does anyone know this person or to whom these items belong? Or is Jammy the name of the duck? Any help you can offer will be appreciated. If no one claims these items, they'll be tossed out by Friday, January 16th. Thank you. So that's when?
That's next week.
Oh, boy. So I hope. Thank God we got this on here. Thank you and happy holidays. Can you please forward this notice to all faculty, staff, and grad students in your departments? Thanks. So thank you very much for that memo. And where can they send these memos and Jammy the duck?
They can send them to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org with the subject line memos, or go to notmuch.com and post it there. I would like to hear a resolution to that quandary.
Which one, the duck or the pantsuit?
Well, I was thinking more about the duck, but...
Yeah. Because if it was a decent-sized mallard, not one of these we have in the park down here, I wouldn't eat that for $1 million. You know?
Yeah.
We got quite a few ducks where I live.
Mm-hmm.
Every known disease to man. It's amazing they can get off the ground carrying all those diseases. Oh, God, I got plague, you know, and they're running on there. Just thinking about it would be enough to keep you on the ground. You know, each week at this time, we honor a town, a village, a burg.
Shtetl.
A shtetl. Thank you very much. Here's Sarah Nix with our Town of the Week.
Our town of the week is Cedarville, California. It's a small town nestled at the eastern foot of the Warner Mountains in the Tri-Corner region of northeastern California. It was founded in 1864 as a stopping point for wagon trains full of westbound settlers. It was originally called Deep Creek. An enterprising settler named Henry Talbert built a cabin there and started selling supplies to the pioneers at exorbitant prices, I'm told. Downtown Cedarville was laid out a few years later by John Bonner and William Kressler. The first post office opened in 1869, and it was soon the largest town in Surprise Valley with a population of 220 people. Some of the descendants of the original inhabitants of the area, the Paiute tribe, still live in the Cedarville area. They have an independent government called the Cedarville Rancheria. These days, about 500 people live in Cedarville. People farm grains and grasses, onions and corn in the high desert valley. There's some ranching in the area, too. Visitors can head out into the wilds in hopes of seeing elk, antelope, or wild mustang. There are also countless hawks, falcons, and cranes for bird watchers in the group. In the winter, they're skiing on the Cedar Pass Ski Hill. There are horse shows and rodeos to check out throughout the year. And if you're in town in March, you can join in the annual Squirrel Roundup and Banquet.
Oh, boy.
And that's our town of the week, Cedarville, California.
That was so nice right up until that. Squirrel Roundup? I mean, are these squirrels hunted down and gunned down? And
I do believe so. I think we're going to have to verify for sure with a local, but from what I could tell, it looks like people get their shotguns out and go hunting ground squirrels.
Is because they're varmints?
I would assume so.
And you maybe get me some varmints? Is that a typical thing?
They could also be delicious. I don't know.
I tried eating a squirrel one time. I had one of these local gray squirrels.
No.
First of all he did was he stuck it in the oven. I think he cleaned it out, hopefully. But he stuck it in the oven on his back. So they pulled it out of the oven, and there's like this little thing. You know, a little tiny drumstick sticking up there, all burned up and stuff. And said, here, have a drumstick. And take it out. It's, you know, like eating a rat or something. You know. And I can't say I had a good feeling for it. But I can't be for the food is what I'm hoping.
Well, and maybe ground squirrels are different than tree squirrels, arboreal squirrels.
Oh, these are tree squirrels?
No. I'm assuming the squirrel you ate was a tree squirrel. And these
yes.
are ground squirrels, which are maybe.
Oh, these are ground squirrels.
Maybe they're fattier.
So aren't they chipmunks then, maybe?
No.
Groundhogs. Wouldn't they be groundhogs? Because they're a nuisance, you know, for a lot of people. I don't want to get into details of this. Sandra Perriott in Cedarville, California can clear all this up. And let's get her on the line right now. Hi, Sandra. How are you this morning?
Hi, I'm good.
That's good. Did we catch you at a good time? Or you got
sure.
good time to talk?
Sure.
You didn't happen to hear anything of the description of Cedarville. Just given.
No, I didn't hear the description of Cedarville, just a little bit about the ground squirrels.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Can you clear that up for us? What is that roundup all about?
Well, the ground squirrels, because you can't poison them, et cetera, they come up in February, and then they reproduce fairly quickly.
Uh-huh.
And
you'd
so
have to under those conditions.
They're a nuisance to the crops.
Oh.
And we grow alfalfa here.
Oh.
And so that's kind of where they like to be. They, you know, will live in other crops too, but they eat the leaves off the plant, and then the plant doesn't produce as much as it should produce. But they, there's kind of a population explosion when they reproduce, which seems quick. And
seemed to,
so
to me too, yeah.
That's how that got started. I mean, that's one way to decrease the population is to get rid of them through.
Yeah, yeah. Are these like groundhogs, ground squirrels?
No, they're not a groundhog.
No.
I don't know the name,
no.
the technical name of them, but they're not a groundhog. A groundhog's a little bigger.
Yeah.
But these are ground squirrels, and no, they don't have the big fluffy tails, and they're definitely not a chipmunk.
Okay. So it's crop protection. I think we can let that go then. And this is like a big event, isn't it? The roundup and all that. Is it party time?
Well, and people start coming through to shoot them, like sometime in February. Mm-hmm. And the banquet that we have, the roundup, is just on one Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually kind of a whole season, and people that like to shoot varmints enjoy coming.
And varmint shooters.
Shoot yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe they don't have varmints where they live.
Right, or the open spaces, or
yeah.
you know, know, that kind of thing.
Or, you know, like we have varmints, but we can't shoot them. You can
right.
sue them. You can take them to court, but you can't shoot them.
Right.
So when they come through, don't they trample the alfalfa? That's kind of productive then, counterproductive.
Well, if they come early,
yeah.
The plants are just starting to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't drive on the fields if it's muddy.
Sure.
Or and then when the plant gets to a certain height, you can't see the ground squirrel.
No. Oh.
And so then kind of the fun's over until
yeah.
they cut the hay. And then there's a time period where you can see them again.
Yeah, hay cut at time. Are you in farming yourself, Sandra?
Well, I live on a ranch,
mm-hmm.
yeah. But personally, I'm not into farming.
No. What are you into?
I have a retail business. I have a grocery store.
Oh, you do. Are we catching you at the grocery store?
No, I'm home.
Oh, you're home. Mm-hmm. Who's watching the store?
The other employees.
Yeah, good. So you're the boss.
Yeah.
That's good. Good thing to be. And it's a retail, what sort of store? Grocery?
Grocery.
Yeah. And are you affiliated with a well-known grocery chain, or is it independent?
No, it's a small independent.
Oh, good for you. How's business? Pretty good?
Oh, it's there are a few less people here than there were.
Mm-hmm.
And so business is down, but I think business is down in a lot of places.
Yeah. Page's Market, I'm told it's called Page's Market.
Yes, that's correct.
Is that the place to go if you're in Cedarville, stop into Page's Market for all your needs?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Is it strictly groceries, or do you have some other collateral products as well? Or?
Well, there's grocery and, there's you know, general merchandise and other things. And then I do have another little business one block away.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
The Corner Store.
What?
The Corner Store.
Oh, the Corner Store.
Corner Store. Mm-hmm. And we have livestock feed and hardware.
And hardware.
Mm-hmm.
So you wear many hats.
Yes.
But you're wearing them at home, so that's perfect. You got people to run
my
it down. Yeah. Excellent. And it's kind of funny because when Sarah was talking about the founding of the town, she said it was founded, there was like an implement store or something when they founded the town, Cedarville.
It was a trading post.
Trading Fresh post.
Fresh and Bonner Trading Post.
Right.
And, yes, and so it was one of the first businesses or buildings in Cedarville.
Yeah, so you probably are carrying on in that tradition. And then if we're coming to Cedarville, now we heard about some of the things going on now. There's that thing we talked about, and then there's also, I know there's a ski hill nearby.
Yeah, Cedar Pass Ski Hill.
Yeah.
And there's not enough snow this year, so it's not open.
Oh, it's
and,
not.
And we have the Modoc District Fair
mm-hmm.
is in Cedarville.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to use our fairgrounds for other events and other purposes during the year when the fair is not going on.
Mm-hmm. Is there something coming up on the fairgrounds if people were coming out that way to escape our weather?
Where are you at, Wyoming?
No. It seems that way, but we're in Wisconsin.
Oh, Wisconsin. It's cold there right now. It got down to 10 degrees here about 10 days ago, but. Oh. We're kind of having a little heat wave now.
Yeah, we got up to 10 degrees about 10
days ago. Yes, you guys got the storm. We need the storm.
I don't know what it is. It's more of a way of life than a storm. You know?
Yes.
It's not habitable here. For some reason, the settlers came in. It must have been really terrible back in Germany, wherever they're from. And they thought, this is a paradise. Look at this. It's only 0 degrees here now.
All right, but isn't it pretty in the summer?
Yes, it is.
But
until
growing season.
Until the biting insects come out.
Oh, okay.
You got about a month there. It's great here. But I'm sure out there it's like a paradise in the spring, right?
Well, we're in far northern California.
Mm-hmm.
So I think our growing season is like 90-some days, 96 days maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So we're, you know, it's a little bit more like high desert. So it's not like the southern part of California.
Yeah, yeah. If we were coming out there, Sandra, and we may, if it sounds good, what would you want to show us? You know, points of interest or points of local pride that you'd like to show us?
Well, there's a lot of older buildings on Main Street,
mm-hmm.
like the one I have the corner store in. It's a brick building, and it was built as a bank in 1906.
Mm-hmm.
And on down the way is the brick building that was the Kressler and Bonner Trading Post.
Oh, yeah. It's still there, huh?
Yeah, same building.
Oh, cool.
Yes, and so Main Street. Street has some historical buildings.
What's in there?
And that kind of thing.
Yeah, what's in there now on the Chrysler and Bonner place?
Pardon me? Say it again.
What's in that place now, the trading place?
There are several little small businesses. Mm-hmm. One of them is like a secondhand shop. Mm-hmm. And Floating Island Publishers, a bookstore.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
Michael Sykes, he's been there for a number of years,
mm-hmm.
probably 10 to 15 years. And in the past, one of the little buildings there, it's all one big brick building, but there's different entryways and
mm-hmm.
parts to it. There used to be a little business called Surprise there. It's a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And she recently relocated across the street, so she's still in business.
Yeah. The Surprise comes from Surprise Valley, right?
That's right.
Was it a surprise when they found it? Is that how it got the name? Or?
Well, I'm not sure the true history, but one of the stories is that when they came, because they would have come from across Nevada,
mm-hmm.
that when they came up over the hill and looked, you know, this way, the west, on the trail they were, mm-hmm. there was a surprise, because it's Surprise Valley is, we have good water that comes off of the mountain range, the mm-hmm. Warner Mountains. And so the valley, as the story goes, was green, and that the Great Basin Wild Rye was higher than the horse's heads.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a place where, you know, the settlers came through to get down into, farther into California.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of them for the gold rush in Sutter County.
Mm-hmm.
And then one bunch of people, the Parmans, they had cattle and took them to, I believe, Sacramento Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And then that particular year, there was a drought, and they didn't know quite what to do. And I think Jeff Parman was the guy's name. He said he'd take the cattle back on up to Surprise Valley because there was good feed. So that's how the Parman family got here.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're still there?
Yes.
Yeah, so they're the big ranchers there.
Yes.
I do remember we were flying into Sacramento one time, and there was a thing where you go over these, I don't know if they're foothills or mountains. I mean, to me, it's a mountain. I'm from here, you know.
Right.
But they might have been foothills or something. And you go over.
No, there's the Warner Mountain Range.
Yes.
And it's significant.
Yeah, and you fly over it, and then you go over it, and it looks like Wisconsin on the other side. It's all green, like Wisconsin in the good weather, you know. All farmland and green, and it really is amazing. So it is
right. And so one side of our valley next to the Warner Mountains is all green,
mm-hmm.
and then the other side of the valley is Nevada,
yeah.
and it's the Hayes Range.
Yeah, well, that's really interesting. That could be the surprise, then. It was to me, I know that.
Right.
Well, Sandra, I want to thank you very much for speaking with us and taking your time here. I know you probably have to be thinking about what those people are doing now for you.
And there's one more I've got to mention.
Oh, yes, sure.
As
go
I was
ahead.
Talking about the little restaurant Surprise down the street, and across from the Chrysler and Bonner building
mm-hmm.
is a place called the Country Hearth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's owned by a lady named Janet.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been in business for probably 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And very good food. So
okay.
And what, I mentioned the other, I didn't want to not mention her.
You don't want to not mention Janet.
Right.
And what would you recommend there? Everything?
Everything, of course.
All right, thank you, Sandra Perriott.
Yes.
So much for speaking with us. We have a little something for you from around here.
We do, Sandra. We'll be sending you the best of the Badger State in an assortment of cheeses made without artificial growth hormones, animal enzymes, or genetically modified ingredients from Southwest Wisconsin's Cedar Grove Cheese.
Very good.
Thanks.
All right.
Thanks,
Thank
Sandra.
You so much.
Appreciate it. Very nice talking with you. Sandra Perriott from Cedarville,
Bye.
California, our town of the week. Okay, you want to do the thing? You got to take the thing out of the map there, that little dart. And you want to take the microphone probably, too, because Jeff doesn't need it right now. Oh, don't knock over the rooster.
So somebody has to throw the dart so we can have a new town of the week, and I'm wondering who might like to do that. That guy? Okay, got him locked down here.
That guy.
That guy over there. We'll find out who he is. And I'm not going to walk over anybody.
Watch out, he's got his phone strapped to his belt there.
Oh, does he?
Could be a phone slinger.
Oh.
He's a player.
He's a player.
What's your name?
Scott Hamilton.
And where are you in from, Scott?
I'm from Chicago with my wife.
Don't tell them. It's a secret. Come on down here. Do you have a dart throwing experience? Are you qualified?
No.
Perfect.
Never thrown a dart, Scott?
Not in a long time.
Yeah.
So it's very simple. You look at the rearranged map of the United States.
Yeah.
And you aim...
At Michael, right?
At Michael.
Okay.
Go for it.
Oh,
well done.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Back in Texas.
Back in Texas. Always in Texas. In yeah. Burke Burnett, Texas.
We got to move Texas offshore because it's getting all the hits. Thank you very much. Oh, here's something for you. Wait a minute. Don't leave. Oh, that's really cute. Here's a very nice coffee mug. Yeah, Jazz at the Wharton Center.
Thank you very much.
Hardly been used. Boy, do I feel like a jazz number now.
Huh?
I feel like such a jazz number now.
Okay. We'll play a little George Gershwin.
Ooh, I love Gershwin.
We'll strike up the band.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
All right. Okay. No. Okay. All right. Oh, I'm going to the audience. I know, but I just want to get this clapping thing straight now. Now, polka, like a polka. What's the beat on that?
One and three.
What?
Well, it's like a 2/4 time every beat.
Yeah. So what's the difference from the way we clap to the way you think we should clap?
if it were a polka and we're clapping in 2/4, yeah, two. It'd be like
yeah. Yeah, that's the way you clap. So yeah. Something like that. You clap when you do the thing there. Hey. Yeah. Okay.
You have a job over here.
We got that.
Though.
That's what we've been doing, is what I'm saying.
You have a little job here.
What?
You have to sign the piano.
Well, I'll sign it.
Okay.
Not right now. Do you mind if I do this first?
You could we could continue with the show, I
okay.
guess.
Sign the because they're getting rid of your piano?
Yeah, well they'll bring another one in, but
even if I sign it, it's
yeah.
Bring,
well, they want you to sign it.
It's gonna
I
bring
signed
less.
It, and then you have to sign it.
I signed one or two over the years.
Yeah, you want to do it now or later?
What are they giving you then for a new piano?
They don't give me anything.
They're taking the piano and I'm signing it.
They're bringing another one in.
But I mean, you know what you're getting.
I don't mean the same one, same exact model and everything. You wouldn't know the difference.
Why don't they just give them a new one?
It will be.
Well, you already signed it.
I already signed it. Yeah.
What's wrong with that one?
Who wants
nothing, but
piano signed
Tim
by me.
Farley, who donates the piano, we appreciate it, is selling it, and he wants...
I wouldn't even want a piano signed by me.
The buyer wants Feldman scribbled on it.
Yeah. 25% off? I would take a piano signed by
probably
me.
Probably an increase in price.
I don't get it. Okay, Randy Short was here from Thienesville. I was on your show 24 years ago. You qualify for the contest, I would say. And you were responsible for my 15 minutes of fame. I've come back to see if you have matured any since then. In some respects, I certainly have. But I don't know. But intrinsically, if that's what you mean. Where is Randy Short? Oh, you're back there. You've matured. I don't know if I've matured as much as you have. Probably about the same. I don't know what the levels are for maturation in this climate. Things mature a little slow in the cold, you know. I get you to stand up there. Andy, how are you? You have changed a bit.
You've matured as well. You appear shorter than the radio makes you sound.
Oh, yes. You know, it's gravity, the pull of gravity over the years.
I think the speakers add a good 10 inches over the noise.
Okay, I won't comment on any size measurements whatsoever. How are you doing then?
Good. Great.
What were you doing 24 years ago?
I was a beginning firefighter.
Oh, you were, yeah.
Yes.
Were you an ending firefighter?
I'm semi-retired.
Semi-retired. You only go to certain fires?
I still do paramedic work with the community I live in.
And that's in Thienesville?
That's Thienesville.
Yeah. Do you ever go into Mequon, or you got to draw the line somewhere?
Thienesville is the capital of Mequon. It's one square mile completely surrounded by Mequon.
So you do have to go into Mequon occasionally?
We raise the barriers and let people in and out.
I know there's a little rivalry, though, isn't it, despite being the capital? You know?
Yes, there is. Mequon thinks of us as sort of the armpit of Mequon, but we don't go with that.
Well, you should take it off the license plates then.
Forbes magazine, I believe, profiled us as one of the 10 best places to live at one time.
In spite of Mequon. Okay, and so you're semi-retired there. What are you doing for recreation then?
For recreation? Oh, it's hanging around the house. And.
Yeah, but what do you do for recreation?
Camping, fishing. Yeah, play with the mosquitoes.
Well, great to see you again, and I hope I haven't disappointed you too terribly.
No, you have a good thinking person's humor. That's why there's the big long pause after your jokes. People have to think about it.
Thank you very much, I think. All right. And you can come more than once in 24 years, you know. Comes once every 24 years. I don't know how many of those I'm going to get. All right, here's a problem then. I don't know who wrote this. Oh, yeah. Monica Wedgwood. Where are you, Monica Wedgwood? Oh, you're in front there. Okay, well, I'm going back down the front there. But I'm not coming back here then. Anybody want to say anything back here before? Because, you know, I'm not making two trips. Okay, sure. Say something.
Good afternoon.
Yeah. Okay, that's it?
That's it.
Did you make that up yourself?
I did.
What's going on? You got your Remington hat on there?
Got my Remington hat on, yes.
Did you do some hunting this year?
I haven't yet, no. It's a little late in the year now.
I don't mean go out now and start shooting things.
It's a little late in the season for hunting.
Go deer hunting or anything?
No, I didn't.
Are you a deer hunter?
I am.
Yeah.
Usually
more of a bow hunter? Or
A little of both. Right now,
where you shoot any bows?
I do, yes. Right now, where I live, I have more roadkill than I need to go out and actually
shoot. Are they intentional or are they?
Well,
you can make them look like an accident, you know.
Somebody else's, that's the best part about it.
If you don't leave skid marks, they could look like, you know, yeah, it wasn't an accident.
The roadkill is very common around my area, so I don't have to hunt very much. So
you just go out and collect them?
I have neighbors that call me when I live on a county road out in the country that. Yeah. They'll give me a call in the morning and say, yeah, somebody hit a little doe, and come out and pick it up for us. So,
you don't take the dogs and cats, too?
No, just the venison.
In a stew, who's going to know? You know, shave it and serve it, I say.
It goes back to that surprise area that we talked about earlier.
And your name is?
Joe Bradford.
Joe, okay, get out there and start hunting.
Wait, I will.
Legal season. Thank you. Some ducks, you do ducks? Duck hunting?
No, I'm not much of a duck hunter.
What do you like to shoot, then?
Mostly venison, deer. Mm-hmm.
So that would be deer season then. Let's try and get out there. Okay. I don't know what you're thinking. That's only, legally, you can shoot them. I don't know. I think if a deer attacks you, you can claim self-defense and shoot it. There was that guy this year who shot a doe and it got up and slugged him, ran off. And
doe.
He went to the hospital. The doe is living very well and has a good story to tell, I would say. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. You know your name, don't you?
Yes.
Is it Monica Wedgwood?
It is.
Monica Wedgwood, ladies and gentlemen. Step up here, Monica Wedgwood of Madison, Wisconsin. If you want to. Hello. Not that you aren't good from all angles.
Okay, thank you.
What are you doing these days, Monica Wedgwood?
I am an attorney.
You're an attorney at law?
Yes.
Okay. Are there any attorneys that are not at law?
I'm sure there are attorneys out there who are doing other things as well.
Okay. Like attorney at rest, attorney.
You can be
attorney at once.
You can be of counsel.
Counsel, yeah. What kind of law do you do?
Business.
Business law?
Yes.
For or against it?
Depends on who's paying.
You're a lawyer. I'll say that for you now. This is a very confusing story about tickets and donations. So.
Well, I bought 4 tickets for my parents, and yes, they're up visiting. And then I thought, well, I should donate. I should, you know, do my part. So I went online, donated to NPR, and my thank you gift was 2 more tickets to the show. But I don't know who else to bring.
This is it. How you got?
I had bought, yeah, so I found the people willing, and now I have 2 extra tickets, so I was wondering if you had any advice.
Yeah, I would say stop donating after you buy tickets. It could happen again. They're trying to move them, you know.
Well, now I know. Donate, see what my gift is, and then decide if I come to the show.
Yeah, they used to give you a nice tote bag or, you know, or a coffee mug or something like that.
I was hoping for a mug, but this was a surprise.
So you got my mug, which is not... It's a surprise in other ways, but so okay. Maybe you could actually say, "Can I exchange these?" Or?
Well, they sent it. It's a certificate, so I didn't think I could send it back. I didn't know if it was open for negotiation.
Who can we call? Anybody know who's in charge of that stuff now? That we give away.
I am.
John.
Yeah.
Just leave
you
your name with John.
Okay, I'll take care of it later then. Okay.
Very nice meeting you.
Thank you.
You'll have to come two more times or bring someone, but. Lewis Wedgwood? Where's Lewis? What's the dad? Hi, Lewis. How are you? Stand up now. We're going to do dogs.
Love your chair.
Hi there. How are you?
Nice to meet you, yeah.
Nice to meet you. Are you in law as well? Is that what you got?
No, not.
Are you surprised that she went into law?
No. She's been arguing with me for years.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because my daughter Ellie, I think, would make a great lawyer because she's never lost an argument. She always knows what to do.
And she doesn't listen. Yeah.
Yeah, no. Why would she? It's me. And so I said, go to law school. But she doesn't want to go to law school. There's too much reading.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Is there a lot of reading in law school?
Yes.
So she shouldn't go for the reading, huh?
Yeah, she's a tremendous reader.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
And a good arguer.
Yeah.
So, not a good listener.
Well, what? We're not here in family counseling. I don't. She's turned out fabulous.
Yes, I think so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what are you in?
I'm a chemical engineer.
Chemical engineer?
Yes.
Were you hoping she would go into chemical engineering?
No.
Good. That's very good. That's good. That's another great profession.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Because there's always chemicals, and you need people to engineer them.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Well, I train chemical engineers. Yeah.
Somebody should.
Someone needs
Otherwise
to.
Otherwise, they could go make explosions and things out of that
That's
stuff.
What I show them, things that blew up and tell them not to do that.
Yeah.
That's the first.
That's day one.
That's lesson number one, first class, day one.
I'm going to first class and I'm not going
here's
back.
Here's a plant that blew up.
What do you do for kicks?
I like music. Clapping on 2 and 4 is fun. Yeah. Yes.
Lewis Wedgwood, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. Can I count for myself? Okay.
Huh?
Come on.
I'll just do it myself. 1, 2, 3, 4.
See. Lewis Wedgwood, ladies and gentlemen, clapping on 2 and 4.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And also, Mrs. Wedgwood, yes, how are you? And are you related to them?
Yeah, not, no. Boyfriend.
We're trying to make him a Wedgwood, but I don't think he will be.
A little trouble committing?
Could be. I don't know. Wow. Great spot to be put in on the radio. I was going to say my mom was on your show, and she embarrassed me last time she was on here as well. Because I was
looking for a girl.
I was with her, but I was living at home with my mother. So she let everyone and whoever listens know that I still live at home.
Are you out from under the wing now?
I'm out from under the wing. Under a new wing now.
All right, really messed up this family. How about a prize for the Wedgwoods? Because I really feel like
I have the perfect prize and fight for them. Yeah. It's a book called Find Your Perfect Soulmate or Business Partner. Learn more about yourself and others through the science of numbers by David E. Smith Jr.
Yeah.
with Bernard Adolphus from Destech.
And, of course, a bottle of wine.
And how about two?
Two bottles of wine?
Yeah.
Tell them about the wine then.
Oh, well, it's from Wollersheim Winery. They are delectable Wisconsin wines.
Okay. All right, because I feel like I owe you something. I apologize. All right. Retired. The Shaws are here, Crystal and Hal, but all they wrote on their card was retired. So they don't have to say anything about anything, apparently. Where are the Shaws? All right. See, they're sitting over there by themselves. They're retired. Look how retired they look. You guys look retired. Yeah. Did you have?
It's that relaxed look.
Yeah, it's like you don't care about he's getting up for no reason. You're getting up. That's nice.
I don't want to be sure.
There's nothing to get up for, right, if you're retired.
True. Yeah.
How long now have you been retired?
Since July.
Since July and you?
3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was retired and you were still working.
Yes.
Resentment build up there?
No. It was great.
Yeah.
He cleaned the house. He did the dishes. He cooked dinner.
Now you can knock off all that stuff.
Exactly. That's right.
Yeah. What did you retire from?
I was a...
Can't even remember. That's how long it's been.
A tumbling and trampoline coach.
No, you weren't.
Yes, I was.
Who does that? wife always says to me, who does that? But this one is for real.
This is for real, yes. I did it since I was 11 years old, so.
You were tumbling it for the circus?
No, I had my own gym.
Really? What's the gym called?
Stoughton Tumblers.
Stoughton Tumblers?
Right.
Any of you Stoughton Tumblers here?
He's ready.
Yeah. And you retired from that? Is someone carrying on in the tumbling tradition?
I sold it to a girl that I started teaching when she was 7 years old.
She make a living at it, or just wipe it off on her?
She's moved to a new building, so I guess she's doing good.
Yeah. Do you still tumble in your retirement?
No. Got a new knee about a couple of months ago, so no, I don't tumble anymore.
And what are you retiring from?
I was a human resources manager.
Human resources. Now you don't have to worry about that.
Right.
Stuff.
Yay. Yeah.
That used to be called personnel many years ago, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
When did they start? Human resources always sound to me like they mine them, like it's something you excavate from the ground. Oh, we got a pocket of human resources here. Let's dig them up.
I think they just wanted to make it sound more important than it.
Sound like an actual science.
Yeah.
And are you happy to be relieved to be out of that?
Yeah, but I miss the people.
You do?
Yeah.
You miss the humans?
Most of the humans.
Do you miss the humans, or do you miss the resources?
We had few resources, so it was more humans. Yeah.
So now you got like all your time together, and are you rediscovering one another?
Yes.
Okay, but there's an expression there that we really can't put on the air. It's,
Well, we're rediscovering our Shasta.
I'm sorry.
We have a 1963 Shasta.
You have a what?
1963.
It's a drink, isn't it? Shasta's like a soft drink.
No, it's a canned ham.
It's a camper.
You can't get anything out of him. You know, have you rediscovered the fact that you can't talk to him?
We are.
So you're traveling in your Shasta.
Well, we're trying to. We're redoing it. We're putting it back to the way it was back in 1963.
Hard to find parts for a Shasta?
It is.
Really well thought of. Are they not like Airstream or something, Shasta?
No, this one's painted. But the inside is all wood paneling. And so we're redoing all the wood paneling and getting it reupholstered. And
is it roadworthy?
It is. And someday she's going to make curtains for it.
Okay. They do like the big trailer. What was that? You know, the big trailer. Remember, see that one with Lucy and Desi?
Yeah. It's like that, except ours is little. Ours is only 16 foot long. Yeah. So.
Have you been out in it yet?
Yes, we have been.
Where'd you go the trial run?
Caganza. State Park?
That's about 10 minutes from it.
It was. We wanted to make sure.
That it wouldn't make it there.
Made it all the way to Caganza and back. Sounds like it's a long, far away, but it's not in Africa or someplace. It's down the road here. And then you went back, huh?
Yes.
Cool. Okay. Well, yeah. Congratulations. Happy retirement. We have a little something, since we're giving away wine. What about this happy retired couple here?
We could give them some wine.
Put it in put some wine in your Shasta.
Put some Wollersheim on ice.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I knew they were more than just retired. They must have. All right, who wants to play the quiz? Now, I know you didn't get a chance. You do? Okay, young fella, young man, hope of the future fella. How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. And your name is?
Jordan Petrie.
Jordan, are you from around here or what?
Yes, I am. Oregon.
Oregon is not around here. That's the way the... That, West America.
That's like running joke in our town. It's south of here. Like,
you know what I don't ever get is how you pronounce, which one you pronounce it as Oregon and which one is Oregon. I'm going to say it fast.
Oregon is the state.
Oregon is the one that's down the road by Fitchburg.
Right.
Okay. Give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
I'm pretty good at trivia.
Good at trivia. Yes. So you do all the trivia things? Go to bars and do trivia?
Our family actually did a trivia show, trivia contest last night.
They did?
Mm-hmm.
We did it with the family? How's that work out pretty good?
Yeah, we got fifth place out of nine.
No kidding. That couldn't be better. Really, unless there were maybe 12, you know. Then you would have been fifth out of 12. That'd be even more impressive. That's good. Your name again is?
Jordan.
Jordan, that's right. I'm sorry. A little bit. Brain problems.
We all do.
Well, thank you very much. That's very kind of you to say. And Jordan, are you in school now, or are you working? Or?
I am working at a grocery store.
Yeah.
And I will be a Navy sailor in about 6 weeks here.
You're joining the Navy.
I am.
You're going to see the world.
Thank you. Thank you.
I know a lot of guys who are in the Navy. Seems to be a good thing for a lot of guys. Like, you know, Lyle works back in there. He was in the Navy. He never set foot on a boat in his life. He had a desk job in D.C.
So, okay.
Are you looking for a desk job in D.C.? You could talk to him about that.
The field I'm going into is nuclear power for the submarines or aircraft carriers.
Ooh. Does that mean you'd be on one?
Most likely.
I could see going into it, but being on one would kind of, you know, being under, you know, any problem with small spaces and under.
Not really.
Lots of water. Yeah, cool. That's really cool. And so then they train you. What is that? What sort of training is it then in the nuclear power field? Or
usually practical, hands-on kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. South Carolina.
Yeah. Do you have sailors in the family? Is there a naval background in your family? Or?
Not in recent generations, but no. Two or three generations ago.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay. And then how'd you come up with the idea? Would you just think something I always wanted to do? Or?
Sort of, not really, but no. Just a career opportunity, yeah. Really.
And a great place to do trivia. And you're locked in a submarine with 100 guys. Under
nothing else to do down there.
Ocean bottom, yeah. Yeah, that's very cool. All right, so and good luck to you. That sounds great. When you go?
February 16th.
Yeah. So what do you do first? You go to a
boot camp at Great Lakes Naval Station.
Great Lakes?
Yes, Chicago.
Fun time for a lot of guys, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stories about Great Lakes guys. They always come to Milwaukee.
Great mistakes, in other words.
Great mistakes, yes. All right, so Jordan, some out there plays along with you, and it's a general knowledge quiz, not trivia. But you might find some trivia in there. Look hard. And how does it work then?
Somebody at home who wants to play along picks up the phone and dials 1-800-942-5669.
All right.
And you ask them a qualifying question. If they know the right answer, they get to play.
Okay. Well, this could be trivia. But it's really more something I don't understand at all. It's called the Belfi stick. One of the largest selling items right now is a stick, which seems to be an extension of some sort, called the Belfi stick, and they cannot keep them on the shelf. Everyone seems to want a Belfi stick. The question is, of course, what the heck are they, the Belfi stick? If you know, give us a call here at
1-800-942-5669.
What if they can't remember that?
1-800-942-5669 is also 1-800-HWA-NO or 1-800-HWAC-NOW.
What a nice pronunciation. You say your H's.
Yes.
A lot of us don't.
Herbs, for instance.
Herbs.
Herbs, yep.
Is that a Canadian way of saying?
I don't know. I don't really know.
Herbs?
Herbs. Herbs. No.
Okay. Let's go to the phones right now. Brent's on the line from Appleton. Hey, Brent.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm freezing, but what are you going to do?
Wait, are you outdoors?
Well, I just was, but now I am tucked into the confines of a warmer place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What were you out doing?
A little grocery shopping this morning.
Yeah, for the Packer game, getting your stuff together?
Yeah. No, just for Saturday.
Yeah.
Getting ready to gear up to go to the Packer game on Sunday.
Are you going?
I am.
Oh,
lucky
what a man.
You.
What
well,
a man.
We'll determine that maybe about 3:15 Central Time on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll see how well that worked out.
How that goes, yeah.
Did you go up there and shovel? $10 an hour, you know.
No, I didn't make it up there in time. I heard there was a big line, so that probably was a good call.
Yeah. They should pay more than $10, though. Those are like 1970 prices, I think. But I don't know.
I don't think they would. They would probably wouldn't like me asking for like a signing bonus or something.
All right, Brent, here's the question. The Belfi stick, you know what that is?
Oh, I was listening to that question, and it's not coming to mind. It does sound like something that if it's warm and would be by my feet tomorrow, I might like that a lot. But Belfi stick, it sounds electronic. Something for my iPhone, maybe.
Well, it can be used with an iPhone. Let's put it that way. Belfi stick. No idea. Okay. We got to go on this, I think.
Right. I think I'm going. I'm going to have to say it's some weight loss stick or child discipline stick.
No, I'm afraid not. Or I'm happy not, actually. I'm sorry, Brent. Try
Thanks,
us again.
Have a great day.
Yeah, go Packers.
Go Packers.
Okay, bye. Mike's on the line from Springfield Mall. Hey, Mike.
Hello.
How are you?
I am fantastic. How are you?
Good, good, good. How's the weather down there in Springfield? Doesn't get this cold, does it?
You know, it's 28 outside.
Ooh, 28
car.
Luxurious degrees. Sounds good.
Yep.
Mike, you know what a Belfie stick is?
I think I know what a Belfie stick is.
Okay.
I think it is a stick to extend your arm so you can take selfies.
Why would you need a stick to take selfies, Mike?
Well, because, you know, you get big crowds. I'm a pretty big guy. You know, get all of me in there.
Yeah. Okay, but people are using them on their butts, is what I understand. They go, you know, they're really.
Oh, no.
For taking butt selfies, that's a big deal now. And you're right, Mike. Mike, you qualify. Yep. It's an extension so you can take your butt pictures of us. Who would take a selfie of their butt? How many people here? Everyone close their eyes. Applaud if you've taken a selfie of your butt. Everyone close their eyes. And then just applaud if you have. You're lying. I know someone's done it here. Okay. Jordan, you ever take a selfie of your butt?
Not that I can recall.
Probably when you would do it, you wouldn't recall it anyway. That's okay. Yeah, so that is. Hey, Mike, so what are you doing there in Springfield? In school, working?
I work for a bank, and I originate mortgage loans.
Oh, you do, huh? So you're a good man
yes,
to know.
I do. Sometimes.
Yeah, and sometimes not. Mike, this is Jordan. He's going in the Navy. Jordan, Mike.
Congratulations, Jordan.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you for your service, sir.
You're welcome.
All right, the two of you work as a team now and collaborate. We have various categories, don't we, Bitsy?
We do. They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Okay. Mike, you pick the first one. What would you like?
Let's go science.
Science it is. All right. We're talking here about the spotted gar. That's a fish, by the way. I say here, how about a hand for the spotted gar since it's A, its fins that first became hands, you know, when fish fins became hands so they could walk out of the damn water already. B, it hasn't changed a whisker in 10 million years. Or C, you can switch genders on a whim. The spotted gar, what's its claim to fame? Talk over. You'll see some down there.
My grandfather, who's in the audience today, is a pretty big fisherman.
Yeah.
And I think he would know this, but...
Well, let's ask him. What do you think, spotted gar?
The gender changing?
Your grandpa?
Yeah, that is. Mm-hmm.
Okay, don't always count on him.
it seems
you know,
like
fishermen, I always tell them the truth, let's face it.
Seems like I heard something in regard to an aquatic beast about having some sort of evolutionary significance this week.
You think it's a spotted gar, that its fins actually became the first hands or close relative of it?
Yes? I think it is. I think that's what I recall hearing.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can go.
Let's. Because I know there
it's
are,
either your grandfather
there are
who you got to live with, you know, or.
There are other fish that do change gender. I know salmon for fact do.
Yeah. Don't change the subject.
I'm just trying to.
Focus. Focus.
Yeah. Focus. He seems to have heard something.
Yeah. I think I should stay with my grandfather's.
I'm sure your grandfather would be the first to say, go with this guy's instincts. Wouldn't you? Need you to agree, though.
All right. Let's go with what Mike said.
Yes, he's right. Yeah, they found they were looking at the wrong fish when they were trying to discover how that actually happened. It's actually the spotted gar or a relative, so that's pretty cool.
That's one right and zero wrong, and the categories left are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Jordan?
Let's go current events.
Current events, right out of the news. Geese were picketing the California Capitol in Sacramento. How come? As related to food science. Geese.
Like Canadian geese.
Hmm. No. Geese.
Geese.
The goose. A goose.
A goose.
Goose-related law, perhaps, in California, making the news.
Huh.
That's interesting. Maybe it has to do with
they're messy little critters.
Yes, they are.
Oh, yeah, they're messy little critters.
From, forbidding them from the government grounds.
Yeah, I know it's more of a food. It's a food thing.
It's a food thing. So we should be thinking, you can't feed them on the government grounds.
No, not food, feeding them. I mean, geese, perhaps in the food chain for a certain use or another in terms of a food product.
No longer being able to hunt them?
No. Or, you know, as a any delicacies that might come
geese
from...
Eggs?
Not goose eggs, but I mean, I'm thinking
feathers?
More of if there is something that, you know, legislation affecting a goose, not a byproduct, but something made from the goose... That was therefore legislated and then reversed in a lower court or a higher court. Hey, please. Any idea, Mike?
You know, I have my befuddled look on right now.
Yeah. I'm.
Is it a goose byproduct?
Such as what? A pâté? Would you say
pâté?
Yeah.
Foie gras. Foie gras. Can you say foie gras?
Foie gras?
Foie gras, that's it. You said it. Holy cow, they won. And they didn't even know it. What a quiz.
Jordan, when you want to know about Red Rover, phobophobia, or big flops, turn to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know from source books. Mike, you'll begin every morning the What Do You Know audience way, drinking Stephen Brew's breakfast blend coffee, and later in the day, savor smooth and tasty Costa Rican Terrasu from Madison's Stephen Brew Coffee, which is coffee done right. And each of you can fight plumber's butt with an extra long-tailed t-shirt emblazoned with the What Do You Know logo, comes in a bucket, and you can fight the winter doldrums with What Do You Know, the party game, including questions, contestants, audience members, and the nicely hydrated Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to you both.
Thanks, Jordan.
Thank you.
You're a good man.
Thank
good luck.
You.
Maybe, Mike, hang on. Make sure you get this. Cool stuff.
If you want to laugh with Michael every day, you can follow What Do You Know throughout the week on our Facebook page, notmuch.com, or on the Twitters by following Michael at MyFeldman. And you can join us for live taping all throughout January. Upcoming guests include a special performance by Fox, PHOX, on January 31st. More information and tickets are available online at notmuch.com.
Thank you all for coming. Braving the cold, getting out there and coming here, even if someone gave you the tickets. Thank you. Thanks. And thanks for listening. Thanks for coming. Talk to you again next week. Boys in the band. Here for the boys in the band. And Bitsy. I'm sorry. Sarah Nix, ladies and gentlemen.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer, though he's in Costa Rica this week, with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Megan Hannes, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Our technical directors, Tom Blaine, with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Colbert. Happy New Year, everybody.
Have fun on your way out. That's okay. What's the hurry? What do you got to get?
PRI, Public Radio International.